Okay, this is the third segment of the Let Me Adjust My Crown pre-show, which today I have a special person who actually is my cousin. So I'm going to let you, Nikila, get on and introduce yourself to the listeners. Of course, and I'm going to say this before we do start. Listeners, we are interviewing each panelist that will be a part of the October 23rd event, which the Let Me Adjust My Crown 2 Women's Health Issues event. So I'm going back to schedule. Ms. Carr, if you would like, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Nikila Johnson Carr. I am a breast cancer survivor of stage 2B. I'm also a mother, a wife, a business owner, and that's pretty much it. Oh, and a student of the, you know, greatest university there is, you know, the HBC, the boom of the South.
Got to put in that the Jackson State. Okay. All right. And if you could, just tell us your story. Tell us your story about breast cancer, how all of this came about.
Let's see, the week of July 22nd of 2019, that morning I woke up, days prior to that, I was already having some pain, like itching in my nipple, and like when I go to scratch, it will, sharp pains will shoot up in my right breast. It didn't get worse until the morning of July 22nd, because I can remember waking up and calling my friend and telling her I won't be coming to work. I got to call a doctor. And I ended up going to a Baptist because they had those numbers where you can call to be seen the same day. Mm-hmm. So I went to one of their clinics and she examined me and she said she felt a lump. And then she also stated that I had dimpling on the right side of my breast. And she asked me, have I ever noticed that? I told her, yeah, I noticed it, but I thought it was because of the recent weight gain or weight loss that I was having. Mm-hmm. But from there, she scheduled a mammogram at Baptist Center in Jackson. Mm-hmm. Now, once I had my appointment with them, which was on July 29th, see, it only took a couple of days for Baptist because they was actually on it. Was it July 29th? Yeah, July 29th. I was seen at their clinics. And once I had my breast examination, I'm sorry, it was July 25th. I'm trying to get my dates right because I have everything written down. I went there and I got seen and I had the ultrasound done first. Mm-hmm. And I can remember laying there and the lady was doing the measurements and I knew something was wrong then. After I left from there, she had me sitting in the waiting room. And then I got called to do a mammogram. The only way you'll get a mammogram is if they see that something's wrong on the sonogram. Mm-hmm. When I got my mammogram done, right after I had to go back out to the waiting room, and I'm seeing all these women after they got their mammogram done, they're being told, okay, everything looks good. You know, we'll see you such and such this date. And they left and it was people after me and I'm just still sitting there. I'm like, okay, something's wrong. Finally get called to the back to speak to one of the, I guess she was a nurse or a doctor, or maybe a social worker. I'm not quite sure. But she told me that they found a couple of lumps and that she was going to refer me to Dr. Lay's office, which is a surgical oncologist out in Flowood, so they can examine me. Mm-hmm. I went to him on July 29th. And once I saw him, they did the breast biopsy. So I asked him right then and there, like, is it something wrong? Could you just give me, like, could you be able to tell? And he said, well, I can let you know right off back, it doesn't look good, but we're just going to wait until we get the final say-so from the lab. The day before my birthday, August the 2nd, was when he called me, and that was on a Friday. He called and told me that I, in fact, had cancer. They were not quite sure if it was stage one or stage two, because they had to wait for more of my lab work to come back. And I also had to go get scans to pinpoint everything. Now, prior to all this, I had that same breast checked out back in 2016 with my original doctor at CMMC, when it was named CMMC, now it's Mary Health. My doctor noticed a lump there. But she, when they did the sonogram downstairs at their mammogram department, the lady stated that she didn't see anything. Now, we think it was more so that it was controlled, because I was actually on birth control by that time. And this time I got out of birth control. So the type of cancer we found that I had once my lab work and everything came back was HR, which is hormone receptors positive breast cancer. And I was stage one at this time. So that just means I have high levels of estrogen and progesterone in my body that is the cancer cells. So I went through my chemo treatment. When was that? I have it written down. August the 13th, I believe. Was it August? I'm sorry, I'm just trying to look at my... No, it was October. No, August the 21st was when I started my first treatment. When I started my first chemo treatment. And then I started my first radiation treatment after I had my double mastectomy in October. But I had my double mastectomy in February. After I had my surgery, we found that I was actually stage 2B, because by that time, cancer had spread it to nearby lymph nodes. I had 18 removed. Out of those 18, it was 10. And I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, I had 5 tumors in all. So, 5 tumors removed, 18 lymph nodes, with 10 being infected, and which caused me to have radiation in October. That was a delay with me getting started with radiation because of COVID-19. And that was partly because I wanted new breasts. So I have expanders in to help stretch my skin. And it was a delay on getting that stretch because of COVID. So everything kind of got pushed back because of that. Friday, this past Friday, I was just declared cancer-free. But I do still have another scan come next month. So praying that everything is still the same. Also with my, the type of cancer that I have, it will require me to be on hormone treatments for the rest of my life unless I decide to get a hysterectomy. I can get pregnant. If I do decide to get pregnant, it puts me at a higher chances of cancer returning, because if the cancer feeds off the high levels of the hormones that's in my body. So it will be deadly to me and also to the fetus. There's also a lot of people tell, I have heard some people mention to some ladies to get the what is it? It's a test to see if you are BRCA1 or BRCA2, if you carry that gene. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you can't get cancer. It's just showing you like what are your higher chances of getting it. My mom, her grandmother, which is my great grandmother, both had the gene, but they had BRCA2 and they died the cervical cancer. My mom's two sisters and my eldest sisters also have the BRCA2 gene. Me and my other oldest sister do not have the BRCA2 gene, but I was the one that ended up with cancer as opposed to my sister and my aunts that have the gene and they did end up with it. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, just make sure you do your self checks at home. If you're not mm-hmm. sure how to do a breast examination yourself when you go for your yearly checkups anyway, well, I think they change it to every 3 years now. But they can show you how to do the breast examinations. Mm-hmm. They don't start doing the actual mammograms for women until they hit their age 40.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do your breast examinations at home, and if you feel a lump, or you're not sure if you feel a lump, you can't ask your doctor to refer you to get a sonogram. If they refuse, make sure you get that in writing. Some insurance companies states that you don't have to have a referral from your doctor to go to get a mammogram or a sonogram. You can actually make mm-hmm. those appointments yourself.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you have insurance, just make sure you check on that, because the insurance I'm with, I didn't have to have mm-hmm. a referral. But I went and got one anyway. But if your doctor is refusing to give that, to refer you somewhere mm-hmm. after, you know, you just want that extra precaution, make sure you get that in writing. I'm pretty sure they'll go ahead and refer you then.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, you gave a good amount of like the story and some of the questions I was going to ask. I'm still going to kind of go back and ask them though. And I'm wishing the best on your next scan that you are officially cancer free, because that is definitely a serious situation. And, you know, of course, we're in the middle of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I'm hoping that this inspires someone to truly take, one, their health serious, or two, to realize if they are, if they are battling breast cancer, that there is hope. You know, that there is actually people that are living with it, but they're making the best of everything that they do. I guess one of the questions is, because people, you know, if you feel like disclosing, how old were you when you found out? Because, you know, like you mentioned earlier, people are having to, you know that you have to be, I think it's like, they kind of make it a little old, younger, if it is a loved one, like if it's the mother, the grandmother, and the aunt and everything, if everybody pretty much had some type of cancer, or especially breast cancer, it's like 35. But how old were you when you were diagnosed with breast cancer?
28 when I was diagnosed.
Okay. So listeners, you see that, you know, you still kind of need to know a little bit ahead of time if you, especially like you mentioned about the lump in the breast, or, you know, because sort of disclosed, my doctor was like, even if you probably think the lump is from a period, you still need to just still let them see, because I think they said your breast kind of change when you're on your cycles.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
It does. And they tell you, actually, it's smart to check it a couple of days before your menstrual.
Mm-hmm.
During and a couple of days after. Now, if you don't feel any change after, it's smart to mm-hmm. to see your doctor then too. I was gonna say something else. Even if you have, it's smart to know your family history, mm-hmm. because like that also plays in a factor of you going to get checked out quicker as opposed to someone who doesn't have the family history of it. Because with us, even though on my mother's, it runs on my mother's side with a lot of cancer and the gene, on our father's side, we have a history of it as well, too, with a quite few women in our family, not just with the cancer, but also with benign lumps. So it's smart to know your history, because that's one thing the doctor's going to ask you when you go, like, who has it? When did they find out? Like, so if you don't know, start talking to the women in your family now.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, because I think the last time I went, I think it was a form they had, actually. I don't know, every doctor is different, but there was an actual form that you had to fill out. But like right now, who had it? When did they find out? Mm-hmm. Are they still living, or are they deceased, and all of that? So
yeah,
some doctors are taking that precaution because they know, as far as women's health, it's kind of tricky. Everything is, some things you probably think you shouldn't take serious, but in actuality you should. So that's kind of one of those, cancers is kind of one of those that they truly try to take really, really close precautions to and try to diagnose as early as possible. And I'm happy you mentioned about those self breast exams, because at one point they had them almost everywhere. Like it was, I think they would be like on the little door handle things they would give out to college students. They would give them out, just especially this month in time, they would pass them out. You'll see them everywhere. But now it's kind of like, we don't see too much of it, but it's very important to at least try to look up what does a self breast exam looks like, or just trying to ask your doctor, or trying to remember when's the last time you've been to a doctor, because a lot of people are afraid of going to their doctors now. So just to think about. Another thing I guess I would like to ask, because a lot of people hear the word remission or being cancer free or being in treatment. Could you kind of, I guess, break down the difference between remission and in treatment for us?
Remission is basically what life after treatment, like we're declared as cancer free, but we still have to go get scans depending on the type of cancer you have. Mm-hmm. The stage you was in, how often you have to go get scans. So that's basically being in remission. It's a lot more detailed in that. with that, but going into treatment is basically a plan of how long we're gonna be in treatment, because everybody's treatment plan is different. Like mine's was 12 cycles of chemo and 25 cycles of radiation. And that can span from, depending on the chemo treatment, that can span from 3 months or maybe 6 months. It just depends on how your plan is set up with your doctor to get the treatment going.
Okay. That was a great answer on both sides, because I know it's a lot of scientific information and stuff like that. So that was a great answer on Nikila. I know we mentioned about prevention earlier, which is kind of being early on, kind of one, being transparent with your doctor, as well as trying to get information from your family. Do you feel that, like, we as a culture tend to kind of shy away from trying to find out what's going on, or we just kind of don't know what to ask?
Both. I have had people to reach out to me in my inbox scared, like asking, how does the lump feel? Where am I supposed to touch? I'm scared to go to the doctor, and I have to talk to them and encourage them to go. Mm-hmm. And then there's being scared as to how it's going to end. Because when you hear cancer, you think that's death. Like, that's your death. It's like I'm not going to survive it. And a lot of people blame it on things that you eat. Mm-hmm. Not true, because prior to me being diagnosed, I had just became vegan 6 months prior to that. So mm-hmm. I don't think it has anything to do with that. So it's just fear and mm-hmm. not knowing exactly. We just need to educate ourselves more, basically.
Agreed. And kind of just not afraid to know, because it's like, if you don't know, well, how can we continue to survive or, you know, move forward? Because, I mean, our health is well, so.
That's true. And breast cancer is not just important to us as women. It's also seen in men as well. So mm-hmm. it may be funny to some, but... And a lot of men probably wouldn't want to do it, but it's also recommended for them to do self breast examinations on themselves as well, because mm-hmm. they can get breast cancer.
Absolutely. I think the percentages aren't as high, but men can have it as well. Yeah. Yeah. So is it, I guess, what is one thing you would tell a person who was just diagnosed with breast cancer?
Cry now. Cry all that you can now. Cry out. And once you're finished crying, put your boxing gloves on, because it's time to fight. It's no time to give up. I tell anybody that reaches out to me, and then I send a song to them. So.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. So I guess on a brighter side, if you could tell the listeners, what are some hobbies that you engage in? I know you mentioned about being a business owner. So could you kind of tell listeners like what you do outside of, you know, going to treatments or going to appointments and taking care of kids and taking care of your family?
Outside of that, yeah, I do own a small business. I'm a home-based business for Casey's Cinnamon Rolls. To me, I think the best cinnamon rolls here in Jackson.
She do.
you know, look me up on Facebook and Instagram at Casey's Cinnamon Rolls if you want one. Besides doing that, I'm mostly just spending time with my kids, playing games, watching TV, giving my husband recommendations on his pictures, because he has mm-hmm. a picture business. And that's pretty much it. I'm really just a chill person.
See, listeners, is, you know, even though it's a lot going on with her body or just women's bodies across the world, at least they know they're, you know, looking into hobbies or finding ways to use that time, because it's probably a lot to think about. But at the same time, if you kind of make that balance, at least it'll kind of balance out even when things are going kind of tough. At least you got some things to kind of fall back on, or yeah, you know, finding some happiness there.
Yeah, I stopped my cinnamon roll business the year prior to being diagnosed, and then started it back because depression does weigh in when you're stuck at home and can't go anywhere. When you're going through treatment, it's already recommended for you not to be around anybody because of your immune system is really low. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people mentioned Chadwick Boseman, how he pushed through to make movies. Mm-hmm. And I understand why he did it, because sitting at home and just focusing on what you're going through would mm-hmm. send you into depression. So you have to keep your mind on other things, positive thoughts, get up and get moving and try to be as active as you can. Some days was better than others. I'm not going to say that all days was perfect, mm-hmm. but it is important to try to keep your mind off what's happening at that very moment.
Yes, I totally agree. And I totally understand. This is just amazing. Even though we were cousins, it's just amazing to see that, you know, because when you told us, we was like, wait, what? And it's just kind of seeing you go through each step and still have a smile on your face, even when things are tough. You know, we're there in the group chat like, hey, you're gonna make it through, you know, everything's good. We even sat with you in treatment Because I know, I think it was when I came back off my cruise last year. We was just, early this year. We was just there chilling with you. You was watching your movie. You done fell asleep. Me and Quosha just sitting there talking. So it's just good, you know, to still see you kind of continue to press on. So I'm hoping that people that are listening that probably are newly diagnosed or they're still kind of, I guess, going through it's a grief process, honestly, in a sense. It might not be like grief as in death grief, but it is still a grievance process because it's a transition. So it's just good to kind of see those evolutions, as people would call them. So with the event that's coming up on October 23rd, which is Let Me Adjust My Crown to Women's Health Edition, what are some things that you kind of expect, or what is something that you expect that maybe you would get from the event, or that people that are attending the event would get from it?
I'm looking forward to, you know, learning especially what the other panelists have to say. Mm-hmm. Especially if there's a question or some input, I'm looking forward to hearing about different people's experience. Mm-hmm. Because there are different types of cancer, different types of treatment. I just want to know people's journeys. It will be interesting to me. I love to listen and I love to intake information.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's always kind of good to hear, because we may know someone who may be a friend or someone who may be going through something like breast cancer, but their experience was different, or, you know, lupus or sickle cell anemia or just anything. People's experiences are really different. Our bodies are different. Our experiences are different. So just to have y'all on that platform talking about your stories, and then people actually, you know, chatting into the Zoom, you know, about their experiences or their family's experiences, is going to be pretty neat.
Yeah, it will. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. So I know you mentioned earlier, but I'm going to let you say it again. How can people reach out to you, even if it's about breast cancer or even your good cinema rolls? Because some people probably out of state might hear about it. I don't know if you ship that far. But
I do.
Okay. So if they wanted to purchase a cinema roll from you or just kind of chat with you about breast cancer, how could they reach you?
To chat with me, you can find me on Facebook at Keila Carr, and that's KeilaCarr. To check out my business, it's on Facebook and Instagram at KC's Cinnamon Rolls. And I also have a website for that, which is kccinnamonrolls.com, if you want to place an order. And I look forward to answering any questions that you have for me.
Awesome. All right. Well, I hope you guys do reach out to Ms. Carr here. I did enjoy this conversation, and I look forward to the event.
All right.
Let's see. I'm going to stop.